If you have lived in the UK all of your life, these things will be familiar. Muslims in traditional robes chatting on the street, perhaps brushing past you before stepping into a mosque for their daily prayers. You might wander into a church where worshippers listen quietly to a Bible sermon, candlelight casting shimmering reflections on the walls, congregations rising together to sing hymns with deep devotion. In a Buddhist temple, statues representing different deities stand in reverence, while people bow with palms together, receiving blessings and purification from monks. But for me, it was different. It wasn't until I came to study and live in the UK, I began to regularly and closely see and meet these religious communities. People I had only known before through textbooks or the internet. And for me, it was where my world would collide with a whole new one. I have always been deeply curious about different religions, with countless questions in my mind. In my previous understanding and perception, it seemed people who believed in religion were bound by strict religious rules in their lives, and they seemed to live in their own communities, not communicating with the outside world. But after coming to the UK, I discovered the real picture is quite different from what I had imagined. I am from the northeast of China. In my country, religion is not a universal phenomenon. I was educated by a different set of eyes. So when I came to the UK and sat in the classroom with my fellow English students, often discussing the events occurring in the objective world we live, I thought, we are different yet the same. And this drew me to explore different religious beliefs. Because although we accepted we have different views and ideas, their inner perspectives were completely driven by something different to mine. I could feel it. Is religion the cause of that?
Many Christians assert the fact that God created everything. He created the land, the seas, the animals, the stars in the sky, and people with their souls and hearts.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions to us, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth all in 6 days.
The Buddha understood this tendency. There's a story in the Buddhist texts about Brahma Baka, a celestial being who, due to vast stretches of existence in a high realm, believed he was the eternal creator.
Although the United Kingdom is not a religious state, its openness has attracted believers from all walks of faith to settle here and share their beliefs. Of course, in terms of followers and influence, Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism, the world's three major religions, still hold a dominant position in the UK. I find myself deeply curious. Why have the three religions endured for so long? And why have their ideas been embraced by so many people across generations?
Yesterday was the day the human intelligence monopoly officially ended with the long-awaited release of OpenAI's GPT-5, the first AI model to outperform biological humans.
China launched the Long March 4B carrier rocket on Thursday to place a new satellite, CGN-26.
So the short answer is, not immortality in the short term for sure, but we may be able to create real functional cures for disease. So it's really quite exciting.
These days, many people believe science can explain a lot about how the world works. So why do so many still choose to have faith? I believe the answer may lie, in large part, within their teachings.
My name's Auburn, and I'm 22 years old. I've moved around a little bit in my life, but I now live in London, which is the capital, with my wife, and I work full-time for a Christian charity. My parents, when I was born, were not Christians, so they didn't really have many beliefs at all. But when I was maybe 2 years old, our next-door neighbours in the flat we were living in were Christians, and they started to talk to my parents about Christianity. And first my mum and then my dad both put their trust in Jesus and became Christians. So once my parents became Christians, we started to go along to church. And there was a lady there called Sandra, and she would teach the children from the Bible, and she'd tell them about Christianity and about the good news of Jesus. And when I was, probably about six, I can remember quite consciously deciding for myself that I wanted to follow Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross that paves the way that we can have relationship with the Father. So we receive that tonight. Remind us of it. Burn it into our hearts and into our souls that we are yours. We are your children. We celebrate that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And I guess really what I love about church is that when I trusted in Jesus, when anyone trusts in Jesus, we become children of God and part really of his family. So when I look at another Christian who's trusted in Jesus, they're my brother or my sister. And so it makes sense, in the same way you want to meet with your kind of earthly family, it makes sense that we love to meet with our heavenly family or our Christian family. When I moved to London, I didn't know really anyone in London. And it's a huge city, and it can be quite a lonely place for a lot of people. But I was confident, as someone who was a Christian, I knew that when I joined a church, I would find family there. And so even having lived in London just for a year, me and my wife have made so many friends at that church. And I have so many other friends from the church I was at when I was at university and the church I grew up in as well. So yeah, it is true that Christians know a lot of people and have a lot of really close, lovely friends from being in the church. A lot of people think that the church is a building or an organization, but actually the church is the people that meet in that building. So it's a community really, or actually really a family. So I attend church services, I meet with the church at least once a week, sometimes several times in a week. So when I get together with church family, we do all sorts of things. On a Sunday, we'll have what might be called a service or something like that. And what that will involve is we'll sing to God, we'll sing praises about how great he is and how great his love is. And we'll pray together. And we'll often hear teaching from the Bible as well. And we'll also do something called communion. And you might have seen communion. Sometimes it's called the Lord's Supper. And it actually involves eating and drinking. So you eat some bread and some wine. And the bread represents Jesus' body. And the wine represents Jesus' blood.
We get to celebrate. We get to bow down before his throne and celebrate his love and kindness, his mercy and his grace. That isn't directed at us generally. It's directed at you and me personally. So would you stand? We're going to prepare our hearts for worship by reading the psalm. And then we're going to pray. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of
At the heart of Christianity is what we might call the good news, and the technical word for that is gospel. It just means good news, really. And the good news of Christianity kind of looks at three things, answers three questions. So the first question is, who are we? The second question is, what's wrong with the world? What's wrong with us? And the third question is, what's the solution? So who are we? Well, the Bible says that all human beings, me, you, every single person, is made by God, just like any other creature in the world. But uniquely, human beings are made, the Bible says, in God's image. And that means that there's something special about us, that we reflect who God is in some unique way. But then what's wrong with the world? Because I think that's quite a lovely picture, isn't it? But when we look around, that doesn't seem to be what's going on. So the Bible says that all people have kind of turned away from God. They've decided, no, I don't want to be in relationship with you, God. I want to go and do it my way. I want to run my life. I want to do things in the way I say I want to do them, not in the way you say I should do them. The Bible actually uses a little analogy of a sheep. You know, sheep always wander off from their shepherd. They're always getting lost. And it says that we all, human beings, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. So that's kind of the picture of human beings. They're wandering off and they're no longer in relationship with God. And then ultimately, though, there's a solution. So God, he's upset that we've gone away from him, that we've, the Bible says, sinned against him or done wrong things. But he also loves us and wants to be in relationship with us. So he does this wonderful thing, which is he comes into the world. So a lot of people think of God as someone far off, maybe in the sky, but the Christian faith says that God came into the world, and that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God who has become a man. And Jesus took all the wrong things that we'd done, he took them on himself, and he experienced the consequences for that. So he experienced death. Ultimately, he died on a cross. So if you've ever seen a picture of Jesus, often he's dying on a big wooden cross. And he wasn't dying for anything he'd ever done wrong, because he was perfect. He was dying for the things that we'd done wrong. And that kind of cleared away the all the obstacles that we'd put in between us and God, so that we could have perfect relationship with him.
You say God used human being to write the
Yeah.
Books. You mean the human being is many people, or
Yeah.
Jesus, or...
So here, let me show you. There's 66 different books
right.
in the Bible, and they were written originally in three different languages. So most of this is Hebrew and a bit of Aramaic, and then mostly Greek. And they're written by loads of different authors. So some of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some authors. These ones here are all written by a man called Paul. These ones here are also written by John, and a man called Jude, Peter, James. And then these ones are written by a man called Moses. Some of them we don't know who wrote them. And it was written over thousands of years as well. So the most recent one was written about 2,000 years ago.
Okay, so we believe that these people, they communicate to the God. And
yeah, so God, almost like prophets,
okay.
but they wrote on behalf of God. Life is full of ups and downs, isn't it? So I've actually been really fortunate in my life to not have any extremely awful things happen to me, but I know lots of friends who've suffered bereavements or relationship breakdowns or all sorts of things, and found really that faith in Jesus has been the bedrock in that. But for me, in I guess slightly less significant things at the moment, though I know I'm sure that more difficult things will come in the future, but really I'd say the most important thing about being a Christian in difficult times is knowing that God is there with you. So the promise really of Christianity is that people who put their trust in Jesus, Jesus will walk with them through life every step of the way, and they will experience his love and his comfort and his strengthening.
He's telling them something that they already knew, that before he came to Thessalonica, he didn't come in riding on a high after successful ministry that just went swimmingly well. He came to them off the back of suffering and persecution. Before Paul came to Thessalonica, he was in Philippi, where, as was his practice, he had gone, he had preached the gospel, and then some people got offended. And what did they do? They dragged him and Silas into the middle of the city, and they stripped them naked, and then they beat them, and beat them, and beat them. And when they were done beating them, he then threw them in prison, shackled their feet. And all of this was done with no interrogation, no people.
One thing really is to talk about what is the ultimate destination of Christians, and that is to spend eternity in a new created earth with God. And some people might call that the new creation. It's kind of in popular culture thought of as heaven. You might have heard that word, heaven. But the way that a lot of other faiths say that you get to that location or you reach that ultimate destination is through doing as many good things as you can. And if we work really hard to do good things, then we can earn our way into eternal life. The Christian faith is very, very different from that. Though Christians, of course, want to do good things, and they don't do good things to try and earn their way to eternal life. The Bible teaches that no one could do enough good things, no human could do enough good things to earn eternal life. Rather, we receive it as a gift from God. And the way we do that is by putting our faith, by accepting and trusting in Jesus. I think a lot of people have find wealth and success and family to be sometimes the most important thing in life, really. For Christians, we absolutely love family, and we can even enjoy wealth when it comes and success when it comes. But the Bible says that because there is an ultimate eternal destination where we'll be forever, this life is such a small part of our existence. And we can't take wealth with us, we can't take success with us, we can't even take family with us. And so these things, whilst they're sometimes good things on earth, they're not the most important things.
Help us to respond with faith, to realize this freeing truth that we're not the center of the story. It was never meant to be about us. To enter into the freedom of living for you, of living in service of the people whom you have placed us in front of. And we thank you that you served us first, that you led the way in this way, and we called to follow you. We pray that you would help us to do so. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I think that people need to have a Christian faith. If someone were to hear the message of Christianity, to look into it, to find out if they believe it to be true for themselves, and they find that it is true, then I think there is so much hope and purpose and life on offer.
Everyone sees the world differently. Owen said, as long as one remains loyal to God, one can go to a new world after death. For many believers, faith offers answers to questions in the life that otherwise have no clear explanation. So, for example, when hardship suddenly strikes a Christian, some devout believers try to not respond with resentment or ask, "Why me?" Instead, they see it as a test of their loyalty to God. And because of their faith, they continue to walk with reverence toward the ultimate goal, a better world. At the same time, religion brings people together as a community. Believers often find like-minded friends and even family. Within their faith, people who share similar ways of thinking and the same life goal. Religion connects them, give them a stronger sense of belonging and of responsibility to the world around them. Moreover, religion's teachings often encourage believers to place less importance on wealth, success, and other material pursuits, and instead to value the deeper, more beautiful aspect of life. For some, this can be a powerful way to release stress and find inner peace. In this light, there seem to be countless reasons why people choose to believe, which makes me wonder, do I have faith? And why haven't I chosen to follow any one religion?